Blog Talk Radio.
Every praiser, lift your hand to the Lord. Every praiser, come on, come on, come on, lift your voice unto the Lord.
Bless you, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers. I want to welcome you into a new year. We just thank God for this new year starting in 2015. I know you got to be excited for what the Lord is about to do for you in this new year, especially if you are one of the kingdom of God. I know I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm looking to do great things for the kingdom in this year. I just thank God for the internet listeners, landline listeners, those that are streaming, live listening to blog, Kingdom Builders International, Blog Talk Radio on this evening, or it may be the daytime on the other part of the world, the globe, that you're listening to this broadcast. But you are listening to Restore Paths to Dwell In, a broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Carl Flowers, and I thank God for my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers. We bring you greetings in this new year. I apologize for this late start on this evening. But anyway, I do have a word for you to kick off this new year for you. I want us to start out this new year with the right mindset and to do away with the old. He wants to cause a paradigm shift in our thinking, in the way that we think when it comes to our walk in Him and when it comes to our relationship with Him. It's religion versus, as we say, relationship. And so God wants to deliver us from religion so that we can walk in relationship with Him. And so God wants to start this year off right, not being religious, not being tradition, because what the Lord would have me to minister to you on today is breaking the traditions of men. But I thank God for our prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders International. I thank God for her, and I ask that you continue to keep her in prayer and those that are working with her behind the scenes to make this possible for you and the other speakers that come on as well, those that you may listen to. We ask that you just continue to keep us in prayer as we bring you the Word of God on a day-to-day basis. And again, we just want to thank God for you, those of you have tuned in and listening in to this broadcast live from the Windy City of Chicago. Yes, the Windy City of Chicago, where this broadcast is being tuned in from. And so I want you to be in high expectation. I want you to be expecting to hear from the Lord on tonight, and I want to get right into the Word of God on tonight, but let's just open up with a quick word of prayer so I can just dive right into the Word of God on tonight. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just even for bringing us into a new year. We humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we give you praise and glory and honor. God, I ask that you would move in the airways, Lord. I ask that you would move wherever my voice is heard, Lord, supernaturally, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I prophetically declare and decree in the lives of your people, Lord, that are listening to this broadcast. Lord, let there be an open heavens over them. Father, I pray, Lord, that let manifestations of healing take place and deliverance take place. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, with prophetic utterance, the doors of prophetic utterance be open, Lord God, over this broadcast in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would stir up every ministry gift that may be listening to this broadcast, Lord, every lay member, every sheep in the name of Jesus listening in, tuning in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you just such an outpouring of your spirit upon your people on tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, those that are dealing with situations, Lord, may be oppressed by the enemy. I rebuke the hand of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I command the enemy to loose his hold off of the people of God. And Lord, I pray most of all for salvation on tonight, for those that need salvation and those that may be straddled offense, Lord, those that may be back in a backslidden state. Lord, I pray that your love be released, your agape love, Lord, that you know, Lord, you want them to know that you love them and that you love them with an everlasting love, Lord, that you begin to draw them by your spirit because you're married to the backslidden and there's no sin too great that they have committed that you will not receive them, accept them back. And, Father, we pray repentance on tonight, that they will repent and turn away and come back unto you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, those many of those that have become lukewarm, Lord, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that, Father, they would just repent and come back to their first love, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You say you'd rather that we be hot or cold. If we're lukewarm, you will spew us out of your mouth. So, Lord, we pray, Father, that we'll be on fire for you, Lord, in this year. Father, we pray, Lord, we have such passion and zeal for you, Lord, in this year in 2015. Father, we pray and we thank you, Lord, this is the year of moving in purpose and destiny. Father, this is the year, Lord, that you have spoken to me, Lord, that this is the year for us to pursue and to overtake and without fail to recover all in this year in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for restitution. We thank you for vindication in this year, God, from the hands of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Lord, we forever give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, Lord. And, Lord, again, under the sound of my voice, Lord, let healing manifestations take place, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Notable miracles, creative miracles take place, God. And this is the year of demonstration in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for demonstrating your power over the airways on tonight in the name of Jesus. And we forever give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we repent for the omissions and the commissions of our sins in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God, amen, and amen. I want you to get a pad, get a pen, so that you can take down scriptures, so that you can go back later to refer to yourself on tonight or whatever time. So I always like to encourage you to get a pad and a pen and write, take down these scriptures. And I want to get right into the Word of God. God wants us to start out this year right in forgiveness and start this year out with generational curses broken off of our life, you know, the residue of that, even though we know in Galatians 3 and 13 that Jesus made a curse for us. But yet, God just wants us to just start this year off right, that we don't walk in with the spirit of poverty, lack, or want, or walk, dealing with spirits of infirmities or bloodline curses of different illnesses within the bloodline, whether it's high blood pressure, low blood pressure, sugar diabetes, type 1, type 2, thyroid gland problems, you know, cancer in the uterus or cancer in the stomach or prostate cancer, various different things that are passed down through generational in inheritance. And so we, you know, we don't want to walk in agreement. We don't want to receive that in this new year because we want to be well to be able to move in the kingdom of God and that which God would have us to do concerning our assignment in this year. We want to start eating right, start, doing away with bad habits and just, you know, disciplining ourselves more with our eating habits and so on so that we can be able to do what God have chosen for us to do in this year. And I know this is the year, I'm telling you people, God, to really begin to move in the things of God and to line up with the Word of God and what God is doing in the earth realm, and God wants us to be prepared, a mindset to be prepared and ready. Again, as you heard me say earlier in the broadcast, God wants a paradigm shift in our thinking. He don't want us to move forward with a religious mindset thinking or fault-finding, pointing the finger at our brothers and sisters, you know, always trying to find something wrong, looking for something wrong with them or looking for them to fall or some, or the Lord showed me that they were going to fall or that was going to happen and so on, and we should not be sitting around hoping and wishing and looking for our brothers and sisters to fall. This is the time for the body of Christ really to begin to come together, brothers and sisters in Christ really begin to come together, begin to pray for one another, encourage one another, be strength to one another, and uplift one another, and cover one another. If you see your brother overtaken in the fault, Galatians 5, I believe, or Galatians 6, I believe, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of meekness, except you be overtaken with that very same thing. So if you're not careful and you're looking down upon your brother or sister, you're not trying to help pull them up, and you're pointing a finger at them and you're beating them while they're down and stomping them while they are down, you beware and be careful, because you can be overtaken. I don't think that that you won't be able to fall in a situation, you know, be at that place, well, you know, it can't happen to me or this or that, and so on. Maybe not in the area they may have had fallen in, but it may be another area that you're weak in, that the enemy can come in and get you and cause you to fall. So that's why we cannot be tearing down one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So we want to start this year outright, walking in love. I'm talking about the agape love of God, allowing God to deliver us from unforgiveness and bitterness and hate and malice and all these various rotten fruits in our life. And as you always hear me say that while we go through tests and trials and go through the fire in our life and have wilderness experiences, because God want to burn up that mess in our life. God want to burn up those attitudes in our life. That's why he sent his fire, to burn up the dross in our life. But even though when he sent his fire, he said, you know, you're not going to be burned. You're not going to smell like smoke when you come out of the fire. And so I just want to encourage you, allow God to take you through the process. Allow him to burn up those nasty attitudes and dispositions. Amen, that you know, you walk in and you know, that ugly attitude and that pride, you know, that, you know, I know it all and can nobody teach me nothing. You know, I've been in this thing for a long time, or because of my age, you know, I'm I'm older in age, and someone young, God may put somebody younger in my life to be able to teach me some things. But I, because I feel like, you know, I'm older in age, you can't teach me anything. You know, I'm older than you. Ain't nothing you can teach me. You know, but it doesn't matter because of, you know, your age. That does not make you wise. And so that's a misconception, because you have a lot of older folks or those that are elders, so to speak, that walk in immaturity, that has a lot of immaturity and operate out of immaturity, act as if they're 13 and 14 years old, and bickering back and forth and gossiping, backbiting, doing a lot of things. You know, this is a lot of signs of immaturity. And so, again, God wants us to start the year right. And so I want to get right into the Word of God with the time I do have. I just want to just dive right into the Word. And I'm going to be coming from Mark, the 7th chapter. I'm going to read the 1st through the 5th verse, and I believe this is the King James Version. And again, I want to deal in the area of breaking the traditions of men. And so it reads as following. It said, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the traditions of the elders. And when they came, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" So the Pharisees and the certain of the scribes, they begin to question Jesus concerning the disciples about them, you know, not washing their hands. You know, their hands are dirty and stuff, and they're not keeping the traditions of the elders, and they're about to eat, and they ain't even, you know, wash their hands and so on. And, you know, we wash our hands, and we're keeping their traditions that we're holding fast to, that was passed down of our elders. And so they began to find fault. They were pointing fingers and finding fault, like what they're doing was so righteous, so, you know, holy, like it was going to bring them so much more closer to God. So how is washing your hands and washing cups and pots and brazen, as they say, vessels and of tables, is going to bring you closer to God or give you some kind of revelational insight and so on and all these various things? But so they began to say this, you know, to Jesus, and Jesus began to break it down like this. He answered and said unto them in verse 6, he said, "Well, you have Isaiah," which means Isaiah, "prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He said, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do." And so Jesus had to give them a strong rebuke, and he rebuked them from the Word of God, saying about them, they were hypocrites, and they honored God with their lips, and but their heart was far from him, and howbeit, you know, they was worshiping God in vain by keeping the traditions and the commandments and the doctrines of men, something that was man-made up. Didn't even have anything to do with him, and laying aside the commandments of God, but they would rather keep the traditions of men by washing pots, all these outward things that didn't have anything to do with God, and man-made stuff, and other things that Jesus began to say that they do. Not that was not the only thing that they were keeping that had a lot to do with the traditions of men. And so Jesus had to come with a strong rebuke in that area, telling them that. So basically what the Lord is saying is how we get to God is worshiping him in spirit and in truth and having a relationship with him. And it's not about, as you hear me say, going to church every Sunday, going to Bible study and allowing that to replace your relationship with the Lord. I'm talking about your intimate time, your one-on-one time with the Lord. I'm talking about where you commune, you talk to him, you communicate with him, you pray. Hopefully, I'm hoping that's what you do, as, you know, the people of God, and not allow going to church or Bible study to take the place with your relationship with God. Just because you feel like, hey, I'm showing up at church, that's enough, and you don't pray, you don't read the word, but you're upholding the traditions of men. You're keeping all the rules and the regulations of the church, but you're not spending time with the Lord. You're not doing anything to enhance your walk with the Lord. I'm talking about, you know, studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need of not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, studying and learning other things that will help your growth and maturity in the things of God. So I know my wife and myself, Apostle Angel, we encourage growth. We encourage you studying other materials that would help your walk, reading other books. I'm not talking about books with people that are out there talking crazy stuff and writing crazy stuff that bring confusion in the body and the soul and everything like that. But I'm talking about things that would promote and help your growth as a man or a woman of God, especially if you're called to ministry, you have a ministry call in your life, or if you're walking in ministry, if it's something that will help you more in your growth, like in the area of, just let's say, for an example, as an evangelist or apostle, whatever fivefold ministry gift, or you may be an up-and-coming leader. If it's, you know, real things that in the area that God has called you into that can better help you understand that office and the call of God and how it functions and, the, you know, that office function and everything. So basically, and foremost of all, those offices are really the ministry gift offices, and those offices are really tools to get the job done. They're the assignment. Just like when you go to work, just say you're a manager or supervisor in the workplace. When you're in the workplace, you operate as a supervisor or as a manager. When you go home, you may be married. And you don't go home being a manager or a supervisor at home when it comes to your spouse. So that's left aside. So that's where balance come in at. And there are those in the body of Christ that does not have any balance. They bring in church home, being super spiritual in home. When it comes time for intimacy, oh, they got to seek God. Oh, let's pray and seek the Lord and pray in tongues. If God is saying that we're supposed to be intimate on tonight, you know, let's see what the Lord is saying. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. The Lord is quickening me on tonight. No, tonight is not the night to be intimate. Come on, we can be so super spiritual that it interferes with our own personal relationships, and that's how, you know, infidelity end up creeping into the marriage. That's how open door end up begin to come into, you know, the household, because we're being so super spiritual and there's no balance. We're supposed to be a husband to our spouse, the wife. The wife is supposed to be a wife to her husband, you know, duties. Each one of us have duties, job that we're supposed to do in the home. So we lay aside, you know, when my wife and I, when we're at home, it's not Apostle Flowers. It's not Apostle Carl. It's not Pastor this or so on this and that. You know, I'm honey when you know, when we're home, you know. So, we leave the church outside, you know. So, amen, we have that you know, that balance. You know, I'm sweetie and so on, and, you know, and my wife, you know, hey baby, you know, and so on and everything like that. I don't be like Apostle Angel, you know, come on baby, you know, I love you and this and that and so on. No. Balance. God wants us to have balance even in our relationship, in our marriages, and that's why you have husband and wife going, you know, splitting up and ending up in divorce, because, you know, one is being more, you know, super spiritual than the other, and then there's no, you know, I'm just going as God is leading me. This is not the subject what I know the Lord wanted me to minister on, breaking the traditions of men, but just moving as the Holy Spirit is leading me. I just feel it just need to touch in this area, especially in the area of marriage and having balance, especially you have those that are called to ministry, husband and wife that are called into ministry. There have to be a balance there. And so, again, that's how the enemy began, when there's no balance. And then that's how when it's off, the balance is off, as the word of God says, their unjust weight, so to speak, or balance is an abomination unto the Lord. But, you know, I believe it says that in Proverbs. And so what happens is, again, you know, when there's an unbalance, that's an open door to the enemy, because why? There's needs are not being met. And so then that spouse end up looking elsewhere, other places, start, you know, allow, you know, allowing the enemy to start ministering to them and so on, instead of being, you know, strong things of God and everything. And then, you know, hey, that weak, because now there's vulnerability in the marriage and so on. And then so now the enemy starts setting up opportunities from the outside, because he see that, start sending people their way. You know, start sending women to the husband, you know, if the husband dealing with some, or start sending men to the wife, or the wife dealing with some. They're vulnerable right now. And so that's why we need to keep the door closed, and we need to spend time as husband and wife, as spouses, you know, take our time for one another, and at least once a week go out on a date night or do something, get somebody, if you got kids, watch the kids or something, the kids grown or something, you know, rekindle the fire. You know, find something that you don't have to be something. I know if you're on a budget or money or whatever, you know, just go and have a bowl of a cup of soup or something or whatever. You know, there's little things that you can do. I know my wife and I, sometimes we go to the Olive Garden. Just have, you know, so, you know, I'm just giving y'all some hints out there, you know, husband and wives out there. You know, we just go and have some soup and salad, something like that, you know, all you can eat at the Olive Garden. I know Olive Garden's sitting here thinking I'm probably giving them a plug or something like that. for them on their business. But just do something. Just enjoy life, you know, enjoy each other's company, talk to each other, or go to the movies or something, you know. Catch one of those theaters where it's cheap. I know we like to go out to Marcus Theater on Tuesdays, and $5 day, where you can watch the latest movies that is out for just $5 and free popcorn or something. Get away, go out and do something that you like. Do something that it don't, you know, don't even have to cost a lot to do. So I want to encourage you to do that, to walk in balance. And then at times too, you can put some aside or whatever to do something, you know, expensive, you know, just go on out, eat that filet mignon, because I like filet mignon. So, but you know, filet mignon, steak, whatever it is that you like, you know, go and just, you know, and enjoy yourself for once. Sacrifice, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, enjoy one another. Amen. You know, enjoy your spouse. Don't allow the enemy to come into it. You know, it's a sign of the enemy to attack the marriage. He's just been making a mockery of the marriages in the body of Christ. So this is the year to make a mockery of the enemy and to prove the enemy a wrong in this year, to start this year outright. Amen. So getting back into the Word of God. Amen. So here the Lord wants us to break the traditions of men. Let me give you a definition of tradition. This is from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It says, a way of thinking, behaving, or doing something that has been used by the people in a particular group, family, society, etc. for a long time. The stories, beliefs that have been passed of a culture, of a group of people for a long time, an inherited, established, or customary pattern, a religious practice. For example, I know I've brought this up in a past broadcast, and I want to bring this up again. Again, I just want, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and I want those of you, people of God, to begin to walk this year out in liberty and freedom, and be what God would have you to be, all that God would have you to be, and be in the right place where God would have you to be in, where he have ordained and destined for your life. This is the year of divine connections that the Lord is setting up. I'm talking about, this is not a year of being of doing dead works or being unfruitful or unproductive in this year. So if you have started out doing dead works, just begin to repent of dead works and begin to pray. Begin to say, Lord, I want to be fruitful and productive. This year I want to have a fruitful, you know, relationship that I ordained by you, not no one is going to pull me down, drag me down, but that I can help and encourage them and their purpose. They help encourage me and my purpose. Like, it works hand in hand, a twofold situation thing, you know. But I want to share this to start this outright, you know, for those of you that have been, you know, in a church system. I'm talking about under control leadership. You've been in this. Sometimes it's hard for you to see that when you're under bondage of that. But if you're listening to this broadcast, hopefully this would be an eye-opener for you, and you just need to break away from that, especially if something's hindering and stunning your growth. You're wondering why you're dying, why you're spiritually dying and not growing. You feel dead and dry and just in bondage. You're having nightmares, dreaming about spiders and webs and so on, you know, having dreams like that, that's dealing with witchcraft. That's dealing with control. Those webs represents control, you know, represents bondage and snare, and the spiders represents witchcraft. So I know there are those of you that are under leadership or in a ministry where it's controlled, where the pastor is controlling and dominating, where you're under leadership or the bishop or whoever it is, apostle, whatever fivefold ministry gift that leadership that you may be under or whatever, and they may be one that's controlling and dominating and beating you with a rod and so on. But these are some signs right here. There are 13 signs. I've shared this before on last year, and I just feel led to just touch on this again. And again, this still is dealing with breaking the traditions of men. Traditions of men is, you know, is this, you know, there's no other way to do it. You know, this you do it our way or no way at all, or you can't be released to a minister, especially if you're called to a ministry and there's no one, you know, working with you. You know, you can't do anything. You're made to sit down. You can't even function in the ministry. Give God is dealing with you prophetically. You're called to be a prophet. God's showing you things, but you're being shut down, and you can't function. You just feel like you're just locked up. But I just want to share this. Does the leadership teach that God must speak to them first before God will speak to you? Does the leadership curse anyone, people who leave the church? Does he teach that his church is the only true church? Are you forbidden to talk to anyone who has left the church? Or overemphasize of teaching on submission to leadership? Are you forbidden to attend or visit any church that is outside your denominational fellowship? Are people publicly embarrassed or humiliated by the leadership, like through sermons, you know, that are made to hit or demoralize people in the pulpit? Are you afraid to voice out any opinion contrary to leadership? Have you noticed any marriages are broken up by leadership? People are manipulated in their giving or taken advantage financially? Or every decision a person makes in their personal life have to be approved by leadership? I mean, I'm talking about all the way down to the point about you feel like you have to have permission to go to the washroom. You know, go, you know, call your pastor up, go to your pastor. Can I go to the bathroom? I'm talking about that's how much control that you can't even think for yourself or make any decisions for yourself. That's definitely how you know that you're under control leadership. Are you forbidden to fellowship with your family if they are not saved or do not belong to your church? Or last one, are you discouraged from reading books that are not approved by the leadership? And so those are 13 signs right there to identify that you are under a control leadership. And God wants you to walk in liberty in this year. He don't want you to start this year out in 2015 being under bondage, being under that in, you know, in this year. Amen. God wants you to be in a place where you can move and function, you know, whether, like I say, you're called to ministry or you are a lay member, and that you can be free to move into things of God in your local church, in that local church. Not be in bondage, not be in fear of leadership, afraid, you know, terrified. God didn't call us to be in fear of leadership like that. Be afraid and in fear. We're supposed to reverence God and fear him. I believe Proverbs talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we're supposed to reverence God and fear him. We're not supposed to be afraid and fear. We're supposed to honor and respect leadership that God has set in place. And we're not supposed to look at leadership as if leadership is perfect. You know, we make mistakes. And you have those that put leadership on a pedestal, their pastors, leader, or whatever, bishop, or whoever, on a pedestal, and you know, make them as if like they're God. And the moment they see a flaw or a mistake, they're leaving the church. They're upset. They're mad. And they're going around talking about the pastors and the leaders, and that's dangerous ground, so you don't want to do that. So I want to encourage you. You know, we bleed like you bleed. We have to go to the washroom like you go to the washroom. We hurt like you hurt. We deal with things, issues, and so on, you know, like you do. And not only that, we have to not only deal with things in our life, you know, fight against demonic spirits that come up against us, but we have to fight it, you know, against those demons that are operating in your life. Take authority and pray them off of you, cast them out of you, you know, intercede for you. So we're doing double the work. So it's double when it comes to us in leadership. And so that's why we encourage you to pray for your pastor, pray for your leader. And so don't look at them like, you know, like they can't make a mistake, or you know, they're perfect. So, but the Word of God said, you know, we strive for perfection and be ye perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And that's what we're doing. So being perfect in the Spirit of God, and perfect really means maturity. That's what God is calling us to, maturity. That's what perfect means, to be mature. And that's what Ephesians 4:11-12 is all about. You know, that full measure stature to we, you know, come into the maturity of the Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's what God is calling for us into maturity in this year, in 2015. This is the time to put petty stuff aside and start moving in maturity. Stop being, you know, jealous of our brothers and sisters and, you know, and pulling them down. And we're supposed to celebrate our brothers and sisters, especially when God bless them. Just know that your turn, your time is coming around for God to bless you and do some things in your life. So God wants us to start the year off right. But I know it looked like I'm not going to be able to get through all this on tonight. I want to be able to, you know, for the lines to be open for those of you that need prayer or have words of encouragement, or just basically, you know, so that we, you know, we can start the year out right. I know also this is the year that God is causing many of you to begin to let some relationship go, some friendships and different things go that was close to you that is really not profiting you anything. Especially in this new year, God has already been dealing with you about doing so. God said, just begin to let go and cut them loose and begin, because they're not going where you're going. They're not going where God is taking you. You have those that have been speaking in your life because God has given you great aspirations and visions and confirmed the prophetic word that have been spoken over your life. But you've been, you know, had that friend that was close to you that was telling you, oh, it's not time, you're not ready yet, I don't think you should do that, and so on, speaking against what God has given you and what God has shown you. But God has already been dealing with you to begin to cut that person loose and begin to let him go and begin to move on in the things of him. And I want to encourage you, people of God, to continue to follow the broadcast and go back, you know, listen, you know, in your own time to just write this down, blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International, and click follow so you will be notified of every broadcast. So anytime you listen to any of the broadcasts on Kingdom Builders, we want to encourage you to go back and click the follow so that you can be notified again concerning, you know, when the broadcast is on and everything and different things like that. Amen. Bless God. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International, and then click follow. So, again, you will be notified of every broadcast. Amen, on Kingdom Builders International. Amen. Well, I know that you have been blessed concerning the broadcast. I thank God, again, for internet listeners, landline listeners. And again, I'm not going to be able to get through what God has given me, well, prayerfully. Well, praise God. I was just told that I'm given a little bit more time, and we'll thank God for that. So, well, let's get right back into the Word here. Amen, the Word of God. Thank God. Amen, for extra time. Praise him. So, again, I want to encourage you, people of God, that is listening to this broadcast, begin to jot down, begin to take some notes for yourself. And, again, it was saying here in the Word of God, Jesus said this in verse 8. He said, "For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own traditions." Notice he said your own traditions. And God don't want us to walk in the traditions of men. God wants us to break away from the traditions of men. He wants us to be people of the kingdom, because the kingdom is steadily, constantly advancing, and we want to be ones that move with the kingdom. And so what happened is, if you're keeping the traditions of men, you become stagnated. You begin to walk and have a speed of arrested development. You don't move forward, but you begin to move. There's not a such thing as standing still. Well, I'm not doing anything, I'm standing still. Actually, you're moving backwards, because what? You're not advancing. You're not moving forward. So actually, in reality, what you're doing, you're backsliding. And so you can't be like, well, I'm just standing still right now. You're supposed to be moving forward in the things of God. And so that's what God is calling you to begin to move forward in the things of Him. And 2 Timothy 3:5 says it like this: having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There are some denominations, some churches that move by the letter of the law, which killeth, but it's the Spirit that giveth life. So there are some people that are in some dead churches. It's just dry, dead, and crusty. It's like a dry piece of toast that even when you put butter on it, the butter dry up on that piece of toast. That's how dry it is. I mean, you can dump a bucket of water on that dry piece of toast, it'll just soak it all up and still dry. That's how dead and dry that church is. And if you're in a church like that, you need to get out of it. There's no life of God in it. People are dying. They're having funerals every week. You know, such and such and such just passed. Brother such and such just passed. You know, deaths every week. That's a sign right there that you need to get away from that. You need to break away from that. That's a dead church. They're quenching the Spirit of God. Don't want the Holy Spirit to move in the church. Oh, don't take all that. Don't take. No, we don't allow speaking in tongues here. Or we don't allow all that prophesying stuff here. Or we don't believe in that casting out devils and so on. These are the different things that, you know, Jesus said that we should do. So either we're going to follow the whole rule, the word of God, or don't. We just can't use some of it, and then which we feel like that can, you know, benefit us, and then just cast aside the rest and don't believe the rest and say God is not doing that. We have to believe the whole role and what the word of God is saying. I know his word said his word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which it was sent out to do. This as it shall perform it. And so basically, if you're in a place that is lifelessness, there's no life there, and you just hear just the letter of the law going forth, and you don't see no demonstration, no miracle working power of God, you don't feel the presence of God or nothing, it's just cold. Then when you walk into the church, you're cold. And the heat is like 90 degrees hot, turned all the way up. And that's how dead that church is, and you're still cold. And you need to get away and break away from that. And you need to pray and seek God and ask the Lord to lead you into a place where you can flourish and where you can grow and where you can be used by God. I'm not advocating run from church, but I'm talking about you getting away from being under control. I'm talking about you getting away from being in a place where you're being dominated. You can't even do anything or think for yourself. That's what I'm talking about. Break away from that, because that is not God. I'm here to tell you right now that is not of God. And God wants to equip you so that you can be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's not just for the leadership. It's for you to do as well. Just so you know, of your own child, what not a mother would not do for her own child. For a child, she do everything for a child. Something happened to that child, the child injured and so on. What they cry for their baby. You know, they'd do anything to protect their baby. And so that's how God, you know, wants us to do, you know, be and so on when it comes, you know, to Him, to the things of Him and everything. That's how much God loves us and cares for us and everything like that. And He looks out for us and He wants to grow and to mature in the things of Him. This is not the year to be stagnated. This is not the year that you abort and abortion take place in the spirit. What God has given you, God is impregnating you again with purpose, with vision again. God is breathing on it again. The vision, the ruach, breath of God. Amen. Is breathing upon that vision again. The Zoe, the life of God, hallelujah, is igniting, amen, your spirit man again, and what He has called for you to do. Amen. This is not the time to go and hide in a cave somewhere like Elijah or up under the juniper tree. Amen. But this is the time to move forward in the things of God in this season of your life. This is time to move for you to move forward in your prophetic ministry. This is the time to move forward. Hallelujah. Whatever God has called for you to do, it's time for you to start moving in that with fervency and with fire and with tenacity. Amen. In the things of God, this is the time, hallelujah, to be excited in the kingdom of God in these even last days that we are in. Time is winding up. Time is running short. This is not a time to be like a hermit hidden somewhere in your your house somewhere or hidden somewhere, don't want to witness to nobody, don't want to say an encouraging word to somebody. This is not the time for that right now. But God wants to, even as just words of encouragement, saying that. And my point is going back to when I was talking about the ministry gifts and that they're really balance that you're supposed to separate, the two. And actually, we're called to be sons in the kingdom, sonship first. And the office is just a profession. The office is that, the assignment, the tool that we use to get the job done. But the gifts are tools as well to get the job done. And a lot of times when you ask somebody what is their function and so on, automatically we begin to say, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet. We begin to say, our function, talks about that, our office. And really, we were sons before we, we're any office or anything. So we're supposed to know ourselves as being a son of God or a daughter of God in the kingdom. And again, those offices are just, tools, a function to get the job done. And so again, we got to know the balance between the two. And again, God said he don't want us to have a form of godliness. We're just so religious and just have a form, but, we're dead on the inside, lukewarm, cold on the inside. Just good with excellency of speech with our words and know the latest lingos and know how to, just talk real good when it comes to scriptures and the Bible, but no power, just lifeless, dead on the inside. That's a form of godliness. God don't want us to walk. That's being, again, religious. Jerking and bucking and all this stuff and just mean as the old folks will say, country folks will say, as a rattlesnake, and look like you've been sucking on some sour lemons and a bag of lemons, I would say, and just again, just angry and mad. While you walk around, you see some saints like they're just angry and mad. I wouldn't want to come to your church. Either if you want me to come to your church, I wouldn't even want to come to your church. You came and said, you want to invite me to your church. You're looking all mad and a mean mugging and evil and something. You want me to come to your church? Oh, no, I wouldn't want to come to your church. So we're supposed to be full of joy and excited and, man, and just let that person know, not coming at them with the Bible. You going to hell. They already know where they're going. They know they're not saved. They know they're in sin. They know they're not living right. So they don't need you to come and tell them that they're going to hell and you beat them upside, their head with the word of God and stuff. So with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So the Lord drawn us with love and kindness. We're supposed to do the same. If we wasn't drawn with love and kindness, if we were beat with fear to get saved and to come into the things of God, and sometimes we perpetuate that by doing what was done to us, what we were taught, we use those same tactics. That was wrong. You don't do that. Amen. So you begin to come at him with, can I pray for you? The Lord want to do some great things, in your life. You got a prayer need or some. The Word of God says, he that wins souls is wise. So, you got to begin to change up, use strategies to win these souls, to be fishers of men. And so that's what God is doing. He's releasing strategies in this. You begin to pray and ask God for wisdom. Amen. From wisdom above. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he would give it freely and not withhold it. So begin to pray, God, give me wisdom how to win souls. Lord, give me that love, that love that you operate out of, so that I can be able to love and show forth love when I'm ministering to that, that homeless person out there on the street that smells real bad, or that person that look like they just kind of mentally out there and look kind of crazy, I hope, if I don't walk across the street when I see them coming, I'm going to cross across the street somewhere. You walking in fear and stuff. Didn't you say, in my name you shall cast out devils and we're supposed to do exports in him and all that? Why are you walking across the street being scared and all this stuff, walking in fear? Because perfect love casts it out, drives out all fear. And you're not made perfect in fear. So you made perfect in his love. So God, this is not the year to walk in fear. So this is the year that God is dealing with fears, all types of fears and phobias and so on that God wants us to get delivered of and overcome. This is the season of fasting and consecration unto the Lord. I'm not talking about religiously. As Isaiah 58 talks about, where you're doing things to be heard on high and to be seen of men and to debate the scriptures and all the way, it's all vain. Vain, vain, vain. No, I'm talking about where you're dealing, fasting, just to, Lord, show me myself. Not fasting because you want to house or a car or just got your hands reaching out, God, give me, give me, give me. But I'm talking about fasting, Lord, deal with me. You know, Lord, deal with my heart. God, I got some issues, God. I got an attitude problem I need deliverance on. And I've been dealing with this for a long time. It just seems like people rub me the wrong way, but it's me. You know, it's really me with the attitude problem. So all you're just trying to do is just mature me. I need help, God. I've just been struggling. I'm struggling in this area, God. I need help. I need deliverance. So that's what fasting is for, to deal with you, to show you you. Show you you. That's what fasting is for. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deal with the issues of my heart. Help me with the issues in my heart. Lord, I've been operating out of pride. God, deliver me of my pride, my stubbornness, my self-righteousness. You know, I've been looking down on everybody else like, you know, they're not living right. They're not walking right. But, you know, secretly I've been doing some things and some undercover stuff and all this. And Lord, forgive me, deliver me, help me, Lord. This is the time to begin to come clean. Allow the Lord to purge you and to cleanse you. This is why some things have been held up from you, because God is not going to release these things. As you know, though, folks, you know, I would say God don't bless no mess. And so in holiness is always right. And I'm not talking about being dogmatic about it. I know people say, oh, that's, you know, that was a law. That was a law. I don't know where it's written in the word that holiness is a law. That was a law. You know, that's you being, what's that word we love to say? You being, it'll come to me. The Holy Spirit brings it back to my remembrance and everything. But anyway, so holiness is always right, but holiness without love. As I would love with Apostle Jackson would say, you know, holiness without love is empty. So when you don't have love with holiness, then that's when dogmatic comes in. That, you know, so that's why we got to pray for our holiness churches. Not saying that all holiness churches are like this, but you have some holiness churches that are dogmatic and beat the people down and so on everything, and there's no love behind it. Okay, you beat me. You're telling me about all my sins, all my wrong, but you're not telling me, how can I come out of it? Or how can I get help? Or how can I get delivered of this thing? You know, you cut me with the sword over, you know, over and over again, but you're not bandaging me. You're not giving me words of healing that's going to help build me back up again, edify me, and so on, and bring healing to me. You're just leaving me open, leaving my wounds open, just cut me up. And so God wants us to speak the truth in love, but not to the point where we're embarrassing folks in front of the whole church and all these various things and intimidating from the pulpit and walking like that and so on and everything. And that's on another note, another teaching. I'm just not going to have me to get into that. Another teaching about intimidation and so on, you know, leadership that are walking, you know, and being intimidated. You know, intimidating, you know, other ministry gifts and the sheep and so on and everything like that. But getting back to breaking the tradition of men. So God, it says this in Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work a reprobate. And this is, and if you go and read it in your own time in Mark, I believe in verse 7 and 9 in the same chapter, here, okay, I already read that earlier, but in your own time, go back and read that again about doing abominable things, disobedient, and professing to know God. And that's why Jesus was saying in Mark about, you know, laying aside the commandments of God, but you keep the traditions of men. Well, you know, I was born this, you know, in the background, you know, I can say this because I came from a Baptist background. You know, growing up, you know, I used to be like, you say this all, you know, all the time. You know, I was born Baptist, I'm going to die Baptist. You know, my grandparents went here, you know, my mother and father, whoever went here, and I'm going to, you know, stay here and I'm going to die here. That may not be for you. That God did not, probably didn't even destine that for your life, you know, but because you want to keep the tradition of your family, you know, lineage, because, you know, they were a certain denomination, but God is calling you to something else, so now you're being stuck. So, you know, I can say that because, you know, I came from, thank God for you know, for the Baptist church, amen, my roots, and everything what God is doing in the Baptist denomination. You know, they're moving to full gospel, they're starting to prophesy now, they're starting to move in the area of deliverance and speaking in tongues and moving into the realm of a full gospel. in everything, you know, they God is using. Amen. But then there are some traditional, old-school Baptist church that will not allow women to preach or to minister. I'm sorry. Well, you know, I don't mean to offend anyone, but I just have to say it like it is. It's just too much, as you say, partition is just too much division in the body of Christ, you know, among denominations and everything about women ministering in the pulpit. I want to touch on that as well. That's the tradition of men, and I just want to get right into that. So I just want to say this in Matthew, the 15th chapter, in the 22nd through 28th verse. This is when Jesus began, you know, he had an encounter with the Canaanite woman, whose daughter was vexed with the demon. She wanted Jesus to deliver her daughter, but Jesus, you know, he was like ignoring her. Because remember, Jesus was called to minister to the Jews only. And so here come this Canaanite woman saying, hey, you know, my daughter, she's vexed with a demon, could you deliver her? So Jesus just ignoring her. And then the disciples, you know, they came and said, you know, send her away. But the Canaanite woman, she cried out even more. And Jesus responded, you know, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him. And Lord, help me. And Jesus, she said, and Jesus began to respond to her, you know, he said, I can't take the children's bread, you know, that which is holy and give to the dogs. And she agreed with him. She said, that's true. She agreed with him. She said, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus said, you know, to the woman about, you know, her great faith, and her daughter was made whole that very hour. So look at this, the tradition of men, even, you know, they got Jesus, right? That even though Jesus was called to the lost tribe of Israel, to the Jews only, but she broke through that barrier. And how she broke through that barrier, even though Jesus was ignoring her, she cried out even more. And what really got Jesus attention, even though the disciples were trying to push her away and tell her, you know, send her away. And the key words here was worship him. She worshiped him. And sometimes that's what you have to do. Sometimes you just have to fall down, amen, and begin to worship the Lord, and begin to cry out to the Lord to help you where it seems like the enemy is trying to oppress you and keep you from moving forward. As you begin to worship the Lord and begin to say, Lord, help me, begin to cry out unto the Lord. God can't do nothing but to begin to move for you. He can't do nothing but to respond upon your request. He can't do nothing to move on your behalf. All you have to do is worship him and cry out to him. And that's the key thing right here in the early passages of Mark, the 7th chapter. It was talking about them keeping the tradition of men. So they was worshiping the Lord, you know, flat, you know, with their lips and with their doctrine, but they weren't worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So religion would have you doing a bunch of works, going with emotions, but not worshiping God in spirit, not having a relationship, as you heard me say. You notice I'm starting putting emphasis on having a relationship with the Lord. You cannot substitute religion, that means the works, from a relationship with the Lord. Oh, because I'm on the usher board. Oh, because I'm doing this and doing that, and on, you know, the helps ministry, a certain function in the church, then there's no need for me to really to go and pray. There's no really, you know, need for me to really to read the word, because, you know, I get the word when I come to church on Sunday. You don't even pick up your Bible during the week. The only time you hear the word is when you come to church on Sunday. Again, I want to say this again, you don't even pray throughout the week. Only time you pray is when you come to church, and then you don't even have to do that. You know, the pastor can't even get you to say hallelujah or thank you, Jesus, or nothing. You come into the church resisting and fighting right there, and then if you do pray or whatever, it's not much. You know, you praying, you know, doing offering time, and then you don't even have given that. Well, the only dollar that you have given in the offering, you want the Lord to bless you. That's the only time you pray. Lord, bless me, being selfish and self-centered. So God is doing away with being self-centered and selfish in the church. You know, get connected with the vision of the house. This is the year of being connected with the vision of the set man or the set woman, whatever leadership that you're serving under. It's time out from being a consumer in the church. What is a consumer, you're saying, Apostle? A consumer is a person that comes and all they do is gimme, 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 gimme. I want, gimme, gimme, gimme. That's what the consumer is. It's in for themselves and nobody else. It's time out for that. It's time now to connect. It's time to say, hey, what can I do? Hey, you know, to lay down that talent, that give, whether it's in the area of administration. And you know it's needed in your church. You know that the pastor needs help. You know, and the first lady needs help. And you have administration skill. And you know, put it to work. You know, allow God to use you. But I'm talking about not having the wrong motives. I mean, this is the year to move in the right motive, not wrong motive, because you're trying to, you know, get a position and this and that and moving on. It's not going to prosper and it's not going to work. And you're not going to be happy. So what I'm saying, do things the right way. Do what you need to do. Go through protocol. Go through the right way to allow God to elevate you in that. Like I said, lay down your gift in the house. Serve in your local, you know, assembly, you know, in your local church, and allow God to use you. Amen. And so, I'm going to go right here. Amen. So, but anyway, allow the Lord to, again, use you. Be in this year, God, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? God, use me, Lord. You bless me. God, I want to be a blessing to someone. I want to be able to give to someone else. I want to be able to do something for someone else. You know, begin to do that. You know, begin to be a blessing, and especially to you that, you know, God bless you, you know, you're well off and so on and everything like that. Allow God to lead you to sow into somebody else, like for finance, the gospel, or something. Do something for the, you know, the kingdom of God with no hidden agendas or no wrong motives or anything like that. You know, God, to God, I want you to use me in this year. Lord, help me to search out myself, my motives, and my ways, and I want to do right. So, but anyway, so Jesus could not resist. Amen. When she worshipped him, and she said, "Hey, you know, the dogs even eat the crumbs that fall off the table." So, what could Jesus do? He couldn't turn away. So, in that same hour, her daughter was delivered. And you know, and another good one is John the fourth chapter about the Samaritan woman at the well. You know, the Jews didn't have no dealings with the Samaritans, so it was a thing, a division between them, and, you know, in that area. And so she had an encounter. You know, that was another area right there that the Lord had ministered to the woman at the well, and she went back and telling the whole city. You know, come, let me tell you about a man that told me about, you know, about my life and everything. And so then, that's right there, Jesus broke the traditions of men. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus was the first to come to break the traditions of men. That's why they hated him so. That's why they came up against him. Because, you know, he said, "I didn't come to change the law, but I came to fulfill it." And so what he was doing, he was breaking man-made traditions. And, the whole tradition of the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. And then on top of it was a woman. And so she went back delivering the message, doing, you know, an evangelistic right there, an evangelist right there going, delivering the message to a whole city coming to hear Jesus. And so you can't tell me, go back and read your words. Those that don't believe that a woman can minister or minister in the pulpit, they're only good and fit for teaching out of, teaching Sunday school. If you don't believe that they're not capable or not, God didn't call them to minister in the pulpit, it's only for men, that is a bigamous spirit. You know, and it's a male chauvinist spirit as well, and not only that, they're teaching your son, they're teaching your daughter the word of God. If you don't think that they can not qualify to teach, they're teaching your son and daughter, and son, you got them over your Sunday school. Yes, you the one that say they can't be in the pulpit to minister, but they're teaching your son and your daughter the word of God, so they're still ministering the word. Either, you know, way, you know, you don't like, why are you saying this, Apostle? I'm saying this because, you know, I've encountered some people like this. I've encountered a pastor, you know, that was bragging and boasting, you know, on himself. It just kind of just really bothered me because he was like, "Oh, I got like about 5,000 churches under me, and not one of them is a pastor, not one woman pastor. They're all male pastors. We don't allow women in the pulpit. They're not allowed, but they're good for prophesying. They're good, again, for teaching Sunday school. They're good for, you know, doing other things, but they cannot stand foot in the pulpit." And so, that pride, that spirit of pride in operation there. And again, this person's supposed to be a scholar, went to seminary school and everything, you know, got a theologian doctorate degree, and everything, and saying women not allowed to minister, preach in the pulpit, and they won't preach and minister in this pulpit. And I want to share this. This was talking. I'm not saying it word for word, but one of the other apostles in the network was sharing with me. We all in the same network. We all, you know, we all have the same overseer. Thank God for my overseer apostle, Jesse Miller. He was sharing with me one of the other apostle Jackson. I know I'm not going to be able to say it word for word, but he was sharing with me, you know, his overseer, you know, his bishop or whatever with the, you know, with the network that they was with years ago, had shared a testimony how him and his wife. How he ministered, and he didn't believe in women preachers and women can minister in a pulpit. And I'm just, I know I may be butchering up the story, anything like that, but I'm just, you know, saying that how, you know, I can recall it or whatever. But anyway, the short of it all is that, so he didn't believe in that. And so God was calling his wife to go to establish churches in the, you know, the Caribbean, international churches and other places and so on. But by her husband not believing in women preachers and ministers and so on, so she, you know, had to pray and seek the Lord and for God to deal with him in that matter. So he had this bishop had a visitation from God himself, and the Lord came and lifted him up, grabbed him by the collar, lifted him up out of the bed and shook him and said, you know, don't you know I kill you for, you know, getting in the way of my will of my servant. He said, I've called her to do a special work for me. Shook him up and told him he'd kill him, you know, real bad, you know, and that shook him up and terrified shook him up off his bed, up in the air, shook him up real good. And so after that, you know, hey, that convinced him right now that God had called women to do a work as well and can minister from the pulpit as well. And so he even offered her the resources to go to these places, and God told her no. He said, I'm already prepared to wait. For her, he had already made the way for her, the resources to go, and everything already had the people were sitting there waiting that she ain't never even met, haven't even met them yet, and when she went to establish these churches or whatever, they were waiting on her. God had already spoken to them, and they knew that she was coming, but the bishop, he still oversee, even though she wouldn't establish these churches, he still oversee the church. It didn't take anything away from him, and it didn't take away from him, so it still established the ministry. And I want to show you the Word of God, and then I'm going to begin to close and ask him to open up the lines. And even though she went and did that work and everything, God used her to plant churches overseas, international waters, plant churches in the Bahamas and so on and everything. You know, God used her. And when you go back and you read about the generals, Amy McPherson, who was the other one? Woodward Atta. Catherine Kuhlman, generals, and God used them greatly. God used them mightily. I know there are many other women of God that God used that I'm not going to be able to touch on. But let me show you this in the scripture, then I'm going to close on out, and we're going to open up the lines. And in Matthew 20th chapter, it talks about Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary went to the tomb of Jesus. This was after when he was crucified and buried in the tomb, you know, and they had an encounter with an angel who gave them a message, which was a prophetic message and a message of confirmation as well, you know, for them to go and tell the disciples quickly to tell the disciples that, you know, he is risen. And so that was the first prophetic message, prophetic ministry and evangelistic a ministry, you know, that where were the disciples at? And when Jesus, did he not tell them, you know, broke that down to them that he's going to rise again, and so on, gave them parables and this and that, and then he's telling them they don't understand and all of it, but then they would, you would think they would have been around the tomb waiting and all that, and here it is, the women. Thank God for the women. I want to say again, we thank God for you, women. Thank God for you. If it was not God using you guys, you know, standing in the gap for us men, I want to encourage you, women of God, to continue to do so, continue to stand in the gap for the men that us men would take our rightful place in the body of Christ and be what God would have us to be the priest of our household and to be examples for the young men out here, because this is what is lacking. The young men out here, that's why they're, you know, we have the gangs. That's why we have them selling drugs. That's why we have our young women in prostitution and so on, because of the missing absentee fathers, you know, fathers not being present. And, you know, in the homes and so on, whatever case, ending up in divorce or whatever, you know, that's another message in itself. But I thank God for the women standing in the gap and praying for the men. Many men have gotten saved and came into the church because a woman standing in the gap praying for that man. So I want to encourage you, continue to stand in the gap for us men. Continue to stand in the gap for the men that are not saved and that is out there. The enemy has his hold, that the enemy loses his grip. That's why the enemies have been attacking the men for so long and so many generations, but we, you know, just begin to pray that assignment be broken. I'm in agreement with you in Jesus' name that we as men will be what God would have us to be. Amen. And in closing, again, see, those that don't believe women are called, go back and read your word. Go back and read your word. Again, where was the men at around the tomb? So it was women there. And when you look at the churches, what, look, were 10 women to one man in the church? And come on, where's the men? Adam, where art thou? God is calling for the Adams. Where art thou? You know, where are you, men? Come on. Come on back into the church. Come on back into the house of God. Amen. We need to be that example for the young men. We need to mentor the young men. Amen. Be that example for the young men. And a woman, you know, God, they're nurturers and so on, but they can only do so much. Amen. So a woman cannot father a man. So that's why it's like in balance, when, especially in a single home, they can only do what they can do. And what they try to do, they try to make up for that part that is lacking, that is missing in the home because of the absentee father, or because, like I said, whatever happened in that home, you know, or whatever, you know, that the father's not there or some, or a relationship didn't work out right or some, or that child may have been born out of wedlock or whatever the case may be. And that responsibility is left on the woman to raise that child. So that woman tried to do the best that they know how to raise that child. So they had no choice sometimes to take on a male role, disciplinary role or something, because that was missing then. And then sometimes, too, that's how it'd be so hard for a woman to somewhat break away from that role, especially when entering into a marriage, amen, where God ended up blessing them down the line, where they begin to mate to find them, and the mate come into the picture, and they've been so used to doing a certain thing for so long as a single mother. That's another message in itself, so let me leave that alone. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm closing with Luke. I want you to read this for yourself. Just jot it down. Luke, the 5th chapter, the 36th to the 39th verse. You know, just go back and read it for yourself. And Acts, the 2nd chapter, and that's dealing with, as well, where Jesus began to break down those walls within, for those of you familiar with Acts, about the different nations under the sun that was in the upper room. Amen. That was doing the upper room experience. So that's another scripture that those that don't need to go and read, that's religious and, you know, with this racist attitude in the church, you know. Just God just want to do away with this stuff. Again, he's coming back for a body without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He's coming back for a body. There's not going to be no division in heaven, no separation in heaven. There's not just going to be one area for blacks, one area for Caucasian, one area for Asians, one area for, you know, for Hispanics. You know, there's not going to be one area for Baptists, one area in heaven for Pentecostal, one. You know, where do you read that in Revelation? Did somebody show me that in the book of Revelation? Let me see. You know, somebody, I want you to point that out. Show me in Revelation where, you know, there are going to be denominations in heaven. He's coming back for a body, saints. So we got to break away from our denomination. Oh, because you're not of my denomination, I don't want to receive you. Oh, because you didn't go down in Jesus' name, you're not saved. Oh, you know, I don't want to receive you. Oh, because you don't speak in tongues, I don't want to receive you. You know, we separate ourselves. It's time for us to get away from this, saints. Come on now. I'm talking to you pastors. I'm talking to you leaders that are preaching division among the body that are teaching your congregation this, you know, this separatism. And it's time for us to break away from this. It's time for us to, you know, to get away from our doctrinal differences. And if we all are preaching Jesus and him crucified, and you're saved by confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, we can all agree on that. Amen. There's none that we cannot accomplish in these end times that we are in. Amen. So I would encourage you with that being said. Amen. I want to take this opportunity for those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may be a backslider, and this is time to give your life back to the Lord. It's just a few simple words. I know in Romans 10 and 9 it talks about, you know, confessing, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ with your lips and believing with your heart that God has raised him, you know, from the dead, and you shall be saved. That's all it takes. When you believe it in your heart and confess him with your own lips, not the right hand of fellowship. Oh, you know, when they do an altar call, come and be, you know, part of this church, and you just receive the right hand of fellowship. They just shake your hand. You didn't do no confessing. You didn't do no repenting of your sins, and they just write your name on a roll. I ain't talking about that. No, you're not saved. If that's what happened in your church, and you've been going all these years like that, you've been living on mercy and the grace of God. Amen. And you don't want to end up dying in your sins. I just have to call it out and say it like it is. If you did not confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you did not repent for your sins, then you're not going to be able to enter in. You're going to end up going straight to hell. I just got to say it like it is. And there's not a thing, I know somebody would disagree or whatever, this thing, this whole grace teaching thing that, you know, yes, we're saved by grace. Yes, they talk about, oh, you can't lose your salvation. Yes, you can lose your salvation. That's another message in itself. You know, the Lord will allow me to teach in there. I will show you in the Old Testament and in the New Testament scriptures on that you can lose your salvation. If you cannot lose your salvation, then what separates us from the world? What's the purpose of us being saved? What's the purpose of the distinction between us and the world? The, you know, the profane and the holy. What's the difference between the two? If we still, you know, getting, you know, drinking, partying, doing all these different things like that, and then saying that we're Christian, that we're saved, and doing the stuff that the Lord spoke to have brought us out of, but yet we're saved by grace. We're still doing all the stuff of the world. And how can the world look at us and say, hey, they're doing what we're doing, so why should I? What's the purpose of me being saved? And so if that's the purpose of us, you know, being holy, living, that's the purpose of us presenting our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. In Romans 12 and 2 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we're not supposed to be conformed to this world, but we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's everyday thing, process that we have to renew our minds. It's not going to happen overnight. And so we have to go through the process. We're daily shedding off. We're daily supposed to deny ourselves. We're daily supposed to crucify this flesh. We're daily supposed to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. But just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I bow in worship and praise before you. And say this, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Just humble yourself. Just get down on your knees, you know, right where you at. You know, just say this. Just, you know, repeat after me. Just, you know, he said a broken spirit and a contrite heart that he will not despise. Lay aside that pride. And just say, you know, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. And if you just pray that prayer, you are saved. Welcome to the family of God. I want to encourage you to get into a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, they will say, fire-baptized, casting out devils, speaking in tongues, prophesying, healing, manifesting, taking place, deliverance, I mean, the whole everything, teaching, and an atmosphere of freedom and liberty, and, you know, a place where you can be trained and encouraged and work with, and not only that, correct and rebuked in love. I'm talking about not embarrassed, but in love. Yes, we need that, because if you don't receive correction and rebuke, the Word of God says that you're a bastard, you're none of his. I did not curse. That's in the Word of God. And that's what it is. And so when we get chastened, it's because the Lord loves us. So you, the moment You know, you can't be one when correction comes, you have to get up and you run from the church. You don't want to have no more to do with church. Oh, I'm running. So you're going to find yourself doing it. It's time to stop running. It's time to stop going from church to church because you don't want to be corrected. You don't want to, you know, receive correction. Amen. So you don't want to be a bastard. So you want to be, amen, a son of God, a daughter of God, not running, going from place to place, you know, with a vagabond spirit. And so, but now you're saved. And Father, I pray that you would fill them with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Excuse me. With the evidence of speaking in tongues, in the name of Jesus, Father, let them be so full of your spirit, presence, God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that every oppressing spirit, every spirit that has came to try to demonize them, Lord, that they would be delivered in the name of Jesus. Lord, confirm your word unto them. And Father, I pray that you would send around them godly men and women that will mentor them in your word, that are seasoned in your word. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God, amen and amen. Well, people, got my time is up. Hopefully I have enough time for the lines to be open, to take prayer requests or to just agree with you concerning, you know, prayer needs, prayer of agreement. Or if you just have some words of encouragement that you'd like to share in this new year, you have some testimonies in this new year, feel free to do so. Don't be afraid, you know, don't be, you know, scared to speak up. Just
with these things, you got you.
Amen. God bless you. The lines are now open. Just mention, you know, just say your first name and what city you're calling from. So God bless you. You are on the air. God bless you. All right. If you can mute your line. Now I hear some noise in the background. Amen. God bless you. You're on the air. The lines are open, and I am taking prayer requests. If you have words of encouragement or anything like the line, any questions or anything like that, the line is open.
Praise the Lord, amen. Apostle.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. First name and where you calling from?
This is Kim Wade calling from Calumet City.
God bless you.
Yes, I just want to say how the message that the Lord truly gave you is truly for right now, today. You know, when we talk about traditions of men, how God is trying to break those generational curses that we've been walking in as in the ministry.
Yes.
So I just call to encourage you to continue to speak the word in season, out of season, if God give you, Spirit of the Lord give you utterance, because there's a lot that need to hear exactly what you're saying. And I thank God for the word that you also, God used you to send forth for the men, because that call is truly needed for more men to stand in these last and evil days, because the men don't realize the dominion that they have over the earth that God has given them, those that find their place. Amen.
Amen. Well, I thank God for you. I thank God for that and for those words of encouragement, which is true. Again, us men need to step up and come up, amen, to our rightful place. And I just want to encourage you to continue to pray as well and hold the men up as well, too, a woman of God, and want you to be encouraged as well. And thank God for you and the work that God is calling for you to do as well. And what's the name of your ministry? Again, I just want the people got to hear the ministry.
Breaking Every Chains Christian Ministries.
Amen. And you're out of East Chicago, Indiana.
Yes, I am. But you know what?
Amen.
I want to say this. I raised two boys to men. 35 and 33 years old. And women cannot fully raise a man the way a man can. We are not equipped, like you said. We are not equipped to really raise men, to turn men into men.
Amen. Amen.
That's the work. Amen. That's
right.
For a man to do, not a woman.
The presence of the Father.
Amen. I'm hearing some feedback out there. My time is up. If you can turn your my time. My time is about up. I only got about 60 seconds left, but I do want to encourage you, with my wife and I, Apostle Angel Flowers, and myself, Apostle Carl Flowers, will be ministering this Friday. Pastor Joseph Franklin, ministry at worship, free ministry, and it's inside a Lutheran church at 7:30 p.m., and that address is 1958. If you can turn your radio down, I'm getting feedback, echoing feedback. We're going to be ministering at Pastor Joseph Franklin. Ministry is called Worship Free Ministries. It's going to be inside a Lutheran church where he holds service at 7:30 p.m. at 1958 Burnham Avenue, and that's in Lansing, Illinois. So those of you that are in the surrounding suburb, Indiana, South Highland, Chicagoland area, just come and be with us this Friday. You can reach us on the off-air number for more information because my time is up, 773-888-3356. God bless you. My time is up, and join us again on the first Monday of the month at 8 p.m. God bless you.